Well, hey there, this is Danny Sunchambara, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Chuck Poole, and we explore a number of interesting topics like the two-phase system Chuck uses to plan lessons. And I'm telling you, school leaders, you can use this to get great feedback from your staff, which brings me to point two. Are you allowing students and staff to offer regular feedback and how to be unforgettable? Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, let's take some time to thank the show sponsors I love so much. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
My name is Jennifer Krong from the Assist Learning Podcast. I'm a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, better leaders. Today, I am joined by a fellow edu podcaster. I'm very excited to have Chuck Poole on the show, and he's a veteran teacher of nearly 20 years who has made it his mission to inspire and encourage teachers all over the world to be the best they can be. He is the visionary behind Teachonomy.com and the host of the Teachonomy Talks podcast. Chuck is the producer of the UN series, which is a book series to help teachers reimagine teaching, and he is the author of Unforgettable, your roadmap to being the teacher they never forget, the first book in the series. So Chuck lives in New Jersey with his wife and enjoys mentoring, creating laughter in the classroom, and then continued pursuit of his next adventure. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, Daniel, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Excited to talk today.
Definitely. Hey, we're going to get into the book, but in the bio, this has piqued my interest, you know, The next adventure. So do you have a sense of what that might be, or can you share some of those adventures you've been on?
Yeah, well, I would say my adventures, my wife and I actually like to travel a lot. So yes. She's from Egypt. So actually our next adventure is probably heading to Egypt to see family and things like that. We always love to travel abroad. So traveling is definitely part of our next adventure. And I think that a lot of what we do as far as our traveling and adventure is kind of based on just our relationship. Because I think that a lot of our adventures are based on the relationships that we have in our lives, right? So That's definitely, we're pursuing that next adventure. And then even something on a small personal note, we're looking to move soon. So that's going to be an adventure all in and of itself, trying to get the house sold and all that. But yeah, so those are the next adventures that we have planned.
That's awesome. I haven't been to Egypt yet. I would love to go. Been in South Africa. My wife's from Zimbabwe, so we hope to visit there pretty soon. You may know that I was living in Europe last year, so all over Western Europe, you know, seen basically every country. And I'm actually heading back there. By the time people hear this, I'll be back in Europe.
All right, cool.
But for you, I'm leaving on Friday, so that's going to be pretty neat. We're going to get into the education stuff, but the travel thing, where's the coolest place you've traveled?
I'd probably say, honestly, the coolest place we traveled was, I guess it was a trip, and we had done 12 days kind of exploring Europe and doing things like that. And we had the opportunity to stay over in Venice for a couple of days, which I thought was fascinating because we did it during what they call the Redentor Festival. And it's the only time they do it once a year where they build a bridge that connects Venice to the land, and you can walk across and kind of see everything. And it was the first time we ever were there. And it just blew my mind just how everything works there. And it's all surrounded by water. And of course, the food was fantastic.
Oh, like, yeah.
We love food. So that was one. And then last, you had said you were in South, or your wife's from Zimbabwe, right?
Correct. And yep.
This past summer, we went to South Africa. We did a safari. We were in all of these different places. And that to me was also fascinating. It's just beautiful there. And we're excited to go back. So I would say, yeah, those are probably our two top.
Awesome. Yeah, sounds like beautiful trips. Have you been to Cape Town by any chance?
Yes, we stayed two nights, I believe, in Cape Town when we were there.
Table Mountain?
We went on top of Table Mountain. It was awesome.
Yeah. So listeners, if you haven't been to Cape Town, South Africa, that's a top five city for me. Just absolutely breathtaking and gorgeous. So definitely check that out. Okay. People are here for education and leadership. So I'm going to switch gears a bit. But since it's our show, right, we get to do what we want. And I think people will find value in what we just discussed. But in terms of education, Chuck, what's your perfect day at work like?
My perfect day, being a teacher and in some leadership roles as well, I would say that my perfect day probably consists of three things. So if three things were to happen, it would be ideal. First, as teacher, I want my students to have their curiosity sparked based on something we discussed in class, you know, where they wanted to continue to explore whatever that concept was a little bit deeper, because I love it when they just can't stop talking about what we just did in class. You know, as they're leaving, super excited. Second, I would say it would be a day where I was challenged to be better by my students and my colleagues. See, one thing that I do is when I plan my lessons, for instance, I do it in two phases. Like the first one, every week or every other week, I meet with my students in what we call a roundtable meeting. And basically what they do is they evaluate me, my performance from the week, and then we discuss, you know, what worked for them and what didn't. And then I tell them the concept that we're going to teach the next week and we plan it together. And then what I'll do is I have a teacher that I've been mentoring now for a couple of years, and I meet with her and then we plan together and talk about what the kids discussed how we can meet their individual needs. So it's kind of a neat way. So that would be the second thing. And then the third, I would say, would to have either a colleague or a student, someone that's in my life, in my professional life, share something with me that brought them joy that day. Because, and a lot of times when this stuff happens, it has nothing to do with what's going on in their classroom or what a student's learned. It's usually something personal. And the reason why I say that would be part of my perfect day is because to me, it would demonstrate that I have a relationship with that person that goes beyond just the everyday. So those would be my three things, you know, sparking curiosity, you know, becoming better, and then of course, cementing a relationship.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it speaks to your heart, you know, and that's true. Classroom teachers, school principals, it doesn't matter, you know, what your role is, but the developing of relationships, that trust, right? That people will share something that's important in their life with you, right? Shows that you're really doing something special in their life. Can we dig a little deeper into the roundtable? I'm very curious about that, because I think, you know, obviously school administrators are the main audience, but there are a lot of teachers that listen too. And so the teachers will get value, and then we'll unpack it a bit for the school leaders, quote unquote, that listen to the show. But I love it because you're putting yourself out there. You're saying rate me is what I heard, you know, evaluate my performance, and let's plan a bit of what's coming up in the class. So yeah, please dig into that.
Yeah, definitely. The interesting thing in my book that you talked about, I literally unpack the step by step on how to do it.
Oh, but sweet.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. And it actually came about because a couple of years ago, I would say maybe three or four, a student of mine who was very bold and very intelligent basically came up to me and had a very blunt question. He said, why don't I get any say in what I'm doing? And that's all he said. And I said, well, what do you mean? And we got into discussing, and this is where this was born, you know? And basically what we do is, you're right, they evaluate me, and I have a specific evaluation sheet, I guess you could say, that they go through a checklist, and then they have a section in there where they can create their own comments, and it's all anonymous. So they will literally fill that out and they'll give it to me. And then, you know, I'll kind of read through and we'll chat about some of that. And some of the older students have no problem just telling me what they think, but by doing it anonymously, it allows students that, you know, are a little bit shy or maybe reserved to really give their honest opinion. But you're right. It requires a thick skin, I guess you could say, because students are honest and they're going to say what they really feel if you give them the opportunity. So that's kind of how the meeting starts. So basically, I will recap what we've done that week, and then I give them the chance to evaluate, you know, did I do a good job teaching you this? And then we kind of go through, you know, what did you like and what did you not like and why? And we kind of get to the bare bones of what works for them. And it's interesting to see, you know, how that plays out. And then what we then do is once they've kind of had their chance to evaluate me, then we now get into, okay, how can we make it better? How can I become better for you? Mm-hmm. And then they will be very honest and tell me. And at first I thought this was going to be, I teach middle school. So I thought that for sure they were going to tell me we needed to watch TV or play video games. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting just because the way I think the tone, by starting with vulnerability on my part, I think they immediately see how serious and how impactful this can be. So they themselves really come up with some amazing ideas. So that's kind of how that begins. Then what we literally do is once we have all of that, we sit down and we form the framework for the next week. So they will have multiple ideas. We go through a brainstorm session. And once we form that framework, that's when I take that framework of all of their ideas and I will meet with a colleague of mine and we'll plan the unit based on what the kids are looking for. So it's been very successful in the student engagement because they have ownership over what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's been fantastic. And it's one of those things that has transformed how I teach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. How much time does this take, right? Somebody who wants to implement this as a professional, what does that look like? How much time?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Literally, it sounds longer than it is, but sure. At this point, I literally take 10 minutes on a Friday, and that's all it takes. So mm-hmm. The evaluation is really quick. Sometimes it might take 15 if the kids are really ripping on me, or sometimes, to be honest with you, yeah, it's very uplifting because they will praise what you've done. Oh, I really loved how we did this. Can we do more of this? And it gives you that validation, I guess, that you're doing a good job. So depending on that part of the conversation, the actual framework that we do, my lessons are really kind of laid out in a routine for the kids because they know the routine. So based on that routine is how we form that framework and the ideas. And it takes about 10 to 15 minutes once a week or once every other week, because if we're not done with a unit, we usually do this at the beginning of whatever the unit might be.
Wow.
And they love it. They always look forward to it. And we call it the roundtable meeting. And they always ask, when's our next roundtable meeting? And I have an idea. And I found now that they start in their notebook keeping ideas as we're going of what they want to do.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
That's absolutely cool. I mean, the empowerment, the autonomy, the fact that you're giving them a seat at the table, right, is so important. And so all the listeners, if you're a school leader, I want you to send this out as PD, this episode specifically, to your staff and have a discussion, have a roundtable with your staff about how you can implement this in classrooms across your school. Get Chuck's book, Unforgettable, too. Maybe that's a book study that the teachers can do.
Yeah.
And then as a school leader, consider how can you get regular feedback as well? And so I want to push back just a bit and just hear how you respond. I know that, and I've experienced sometimes staff, they get survey fatigued, you know? Mm-hmm. And so how might a school leader implement these principles with his or her staff, you know? And the one thing that I'll say, maybe hopefully I don't steal your thunder, but yeah. What I heard you say, it's quick, you know, that you're able to do this in 10 to 15 minutes. So it's not a long, exhaustive survey. And then there's also an opportunity where they can add qualitative comments as well. Like, you know, here's why I rated you this way. So it's a simple checklist. But how would you answer that? You know, how might a school leader do this with his or her staff?
I would say to approach it, because you're right. I mean, and I've have a lot of these surveys that I have to fill out just as a teacher and what's this quality stuff or all these different things. And then we have all these other requirements, you know, to take for education hours. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff on our plate. But what I would say, and I kind of approach it this way with my students, is to really approach it more like a conversation. So this isn't necessarily, okay, here's a checklist and check off these boxes, but rather this is a conversation where you get to And as a staff, you get to kind of take ownership of how our building's going to function. Mm-hmm. You know, Because that's really what I do with my students. They take ownership of how they're learning and how their classroom is going to function, because in essence, I'm serving them. So how can I serve them better? And that's really kind of the question, the bare question or the foundational question that I ask them. So I would say if I were in charge of an entire staff of teachers, instead of approaching it as a survey or something like that they have to fill out. I mean, they could fill out something, a questionnaire if they wanted to really quick, but it would be just that, a roundtable meeting. I kind of compare it to King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table in my book and kind of talk about, you're at a round table. So that person who is technically that leader is equal in ideas to everyone around them. And everyone's idea is valuable and important, and we need to discuss it. So that quick 10-minute discussion could probably bring about more value than a lot of some of our faculty meetings or meetings that we have where we're just, and I understand we have to give out that information, but imagine if we just took one of those meetings and literally had a couple round table conversations going on where we came to a conclusion of what will work best for our teachers. Because then that will trickle down into what can work best for our students.
Yeah, that's great. And the only other thing I'd add to that is, when administrators typically give out those surveys, they're very robust and they're very detailed. So if you keep it very focused, though, on this maybe one skill that you're trying to improve on, that would keep it tighter. And if people see you actually acting on the feedback they give you, then they'll be more willing to do it. I think a lot of times the biggest reason these surveys are exhausting, so you send it out super long and then nothing's done. Like, that's the worst sin you could commit. If you ask people to spend all that time giving you feedback, and what their hope is that, man, I want this guy to be better. They're giving you feedback because they want you to improve. And then you do nothing?
Yeah.
That is, oh, that's a terrible waste of their time. Let's talk about the book. You have Unforgettable, Your Roadmap to Being the Teacher They Never Forget. It's now available.
Yeah.
Tell me the story of writing it.
Okay. Yeah. The story of writing that, it's interesting. I've spent probably about maybe 15 or 16 months on the book itself and kind of going through it. But really the way it came about, it was one of those things where I hadn't really intended to write a book. I was doing my podcast and I was doing, my blog, and I had some Facebook group stuff going on where my goal is to just encourage and inspire teachers. And I had a interesting message from the publisher on Twitter and said, I really like your podcast. Have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, no, not really. And that, because I didn't really understand what he was asking, I guess. I don't know. And then that kind of ended up going into a Skype session where we brainstormed, and then it turned into the Unseries, which is going to be multiple books to help teachers reimagine teaching. So when I was writing mine, I did it very intentionally because it's a very bold title where it says, be the teacher they'll never forget.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you need to be bold in order to be unforgettable. But the way that I wrote it intentionally, I wrote it essentially in third person. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about whoever the reader is. So it's geared for really any teacher to implement the strategies in there. And I learned them from teachers that I've had in the past that I consider to be fantastic, mentors of mine, as well as things that students have told me that they want, based on a lot of these roundtable meetings. And so the journey of writing that, as you would know with your book, it was very difficult, but it very, very much worth it. And it was one of those things that I had that fear of putting this out there for people to read. Mm-hmm. But now that it's out, I think it's just been such a rewarding experience, because my whole purpose is to, and I guess you could say my why, would be to help inspire teachers to just continue to be amazing and to continue to be unforgettable. And I really think that this book will help them do that. And I also wrote it from the perspective of a teacher where, teacher reading this, it's kind of like a teacher to teacher. Okay, here's what you can do. But at the same time, administrators and leaders, it still fits all of that. Because it's not just about, the concepts that I talk about, it's not just about how I can be an unforgettable teacher, but also an unforgettable leader as well. Absolutely. So there's different aspects in there about it. And then I had included an online reflection guide that comes with every single chapter for free. It's just, you just click on the QR code and it gives you time to delve deeper into it. So the whole journey of figuring all of that out was just awesome.
Talk about the fear a little bit more and how you push past that. Because as school leaders or classroom leaders that are listening to the show, we might be trying to innovate or taking a risk, you know, within the school and the classroom. And there's that tiny voice that we all have. It says, man, you're garbage. You're going to fail. Everyone's going to laugh at you. Then you're going to lose your job. At least what my tiny voice says, like, you're going to have no money. You're going to die laying in the gutter. Like, and it's like, whoa, man, where's this coming from? So how do you push past that fear?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's, you're right. It's hard because I think we all have that little voice that tells us, you know, what are you nuts? Like, nobody cares about your voice. Nobody cares about what you're going to implement. And when you try it, they're all going to shoot you down, right? And I think that that little voice is, or that fear is basically the, I guess you could say, the guardian of what I would call our comfort zone. Because I think, you know, we like to stay in our comfort zone. So subconsciously, we want that guard there telling us not to move forward. Because if we do, we go into what we would consider the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think, and the thing that kind of pushed me was, I was fearful up until a point when I thought, you know, I have a message that I want to spread and I have a vision that I want people to see. And I really believe that this is something that will help others. And if I don't do it and I don't step out, number one, somebody else will, maybe, or somebody else won't, which would even be worse. So I figured, why not just jump out there, embrace the uncomfortability of it all, and see what happens. And I'll be honest with you, even through writing the whole thing, and even now that the book's out, I continually have a daily fear of, you know, is this going to be accepted? And is this going to be, you know, whatever. But even with it being embraced and people loving it, I came to realization that there's always going to be an agitator. There's always going to be someone that is going to say something negative. And the reality of it is, there are just negative people. And if we spend our time worrying and concentrating on the negativity, then we essentially lose the time that we could be spending on the positivity side of it. So I kind of look at, you know, overcoming that fear is just do it and embrace being uncomfortable, because change happens when we're uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm hearing you say change happens when you're uncomfortable. Embrace the fear. I heard you say, you know, if you don't do it, somebody might also try, or even worse, no one may jump into that void. And something that I really think about is, you know, Chuck is uniquely Chuck. I'm uniquely Danny. If we don't share our voice, then nobody else, even if they try to do what we do, you know, they can't, because we're the only one that's created to be us. And it was interesting. The fear didn't start for me during the writing process. It happened when I told you in the pre-chat, the book got delivered.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, what did I do? So that was an interesting moment for me. But you got to put yourself out there. Like you said, you got to step into the void and show up. And I think everything will take care of itself if you do.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me share one phrase, and I want to encourage the listeners to check out not only Unforgettable, but I'm reading a book called The Big Leap right now. Okay. And we're definitely going to read that in the mastermind. But I'm on chapter 5, so that doesn't mean anything to the listener. But I have this phrase that the author recommended that we recite every single day. And it's about pushing past upper limit challenges. And we're really talking about fear right now and upper limit challenges. And he said, as an affirmation, as setting intention for every day, to say, I expand in abundance, success, and love every day as I inspire those around me to do the same. Wow. I expand in abundance, success, and love every day as I inspire those around me to do the same. And you'll hear the agitator. You'll hear that small little voice tell you, no, you won't. But if you keep doing it and you're consistent, you'll start believing it, and the impact you'll have on the world, I think, will just grow as your confidence grows in that intention.
Yeah, I totally agree. Wow, that's a great quote. I love it. I might steal that and put that somewhere.
You have to. Check out the book too.
Yeah, I will.
Chuck, let's pause here just for a second for a message from our sponsors.
Organized Binder is a proven education success platform. Case studies show it develops the skills and habits students need for success. Organized Binder provides teacher a common structure and language for daily and unit planning without interfering with the teacher's individual style. With Organized Binder, parents gain a clear picture of what their student is learning and how to best support them. Organized Binder equips school leaders with a universal solution to unify and build positive school culture. Visit organizedbinder.com to learn how this education success platform supports students, teachers, and parents. All right, and we're back with Chuck Poole, Teachonomy, the guru behind that idea, and the Unforgettable Unseries, Unforgettable book, Your Roadmap to Being a Teacher They Never Forget. One last question on the book, and then we'll start winding down the episode here. We're talking about being unforgettable, and so we talked about pushing past fear, being bold, regular feedback. What did we miss? What's maybe one more idea or tip that you can unpack for us about being unforgettable?
Yeah, I think being unforgettable, really, and we'll talk about this in the book as well, but I would say, I'll kind of hit on two. One would be finding balance. And that balance is, you know, in some ways, you know, people will say it's a myth or it's impossible, which could be true, but there's ways to do that. So I would think, you know, finding that balance in your life between your work and your family and all of that kind of stuff. And then also leaning on one another, finding that inner circle of people that you could rely on, because it's that inner circle and that and those groups of people that make us better, that make us unforgettable. Because we really can't be someone, I don't think, who is truly unforgettable if we do everything by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I'd say those two aspects, you know, finding balance and really learning to lean on others and, you know, be vulnerable can make us unforgettable as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's perfect. You know, people say maybe balance is a myth, balance, rhythm, harmony, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a myth to believe that balance is unattainable.
Yeah. And
believing that you can't attain it, to me, there's two things. And listeners, you might stop listening to me and unsubscribe to the show. I hope you don't. One, it's an ego problem. Okay. You think you're too important that you can't have balance, and you might be addicted to the busyness and being wanted and solving problems. So you have to explore that. And then the second thing as well, it's a lack of priorities, prioritizing yourself. That hurts. I know. I've been there. I lived it. You know, you prioritize everybody else in the school and the organization before your family and ultimately yourself, which that needs to be number one. So yeah. I think that's a myth there. And I love the community thing. You know, I'd love it if listeners join the mastermind. I lead that, you know, have four groups of leaders from seven different countries around the world. And we talk weekly about education and leadership. Well, what does the community look like for you to lean in the community?
So I would say a community for me, I kind of look at it like this. I have some different people, I guess you could say, that I consider to be, I don't know, it's super important as far as, you know, who's in my inner circle. Mm-hmm. And I essentially, in my book, I talk about the five types of people you need to have in that inner circle.
Nice.
And each one of them really kind of hits on a different skill, I guess. And sometimes, you know, you might have one person who fits into both, you know, but I kind of talk about, in my opinion, those five people you want to have really would be the mentor. You know, that's that person with experience and wisdom. You want to have somebody like that in your inner circle. You want to have that logical mind person, someone who's honest, someone who's going to kind of tell you like it is, but they have your best interest at heart. You want to have the innovator, you know, somebody who's willing to push the boundaries. You want to have the go-getter, you know, that's the person that no matter what, this person's going to get things done. You can rely on them. And then I think you want to have the true friend, which is someone in your inner circle that you know without a shadow of a doubt has your back and that they have your best interests at heart as well. So I think, you know, those five people, and I kind of delve into those a little bit, but those five people, when held within your inner circle, and of course, there's other types of people that may be involved as well. But for me, having those five, having that those five types of people represented within a close circle have really made me better because I have someone that I can rely on. I have somebody, you know, I have people in there that I can really, really trust to tell me the truth. They're not going to beat around the bush, you know, and I have people in there that are getting me excited because they're constantly innovating and they have people I know that if I say, listen, I need help with this, that it's going to be done, you know? So you have these types of people. And of course, the friends, you know, and a lot of times these different types of people will overlap. But when you have those types of personalities, I believe in your inner circle, you can really be unforgettable. And I just think it's amazing.
Definitely. Chuck, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
if I could do so just one day, I think that basically the message that I think I would put out, because a lot of times when I see marquees, because we have one in front of our school where it's just like one line or a famous quote or something. But I think I would just probably put something like, be humble and kind and the rest will work itself out. Love you know, because I think that's kind of what I would put, because with being humble and kind can really, really make a difference. And that's what I put, be humble and kind and the rest will work itself out.
Love it. Be humble and kind and the rest will work itself out. That's a beautiful quote to put on all school marquees. Well, Chuck, you made it to the end. You knew this question was coming and you've been a wonderful guest. So I really appreciate it. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. So how would you build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
Actually, I love this question because when you said it, when I actually read it, I was thinking through immediately. I visualized this futuristic, really cool school.
Yeah.
So I think from the building wise, it would be something that would just be open and there would be, you know, community spaces, and it would be this ultimate place where, number one, kids would love to go. It's one of those things where they'd be banging down the doors to be inside. Uh-huh. And the same thing with teachers. Like, teachers would be looking forward to coming every single day because their potential would be limitless, you know, with the resources at their fingertips. And I think all of that would be there. But I think my top three priorities then would be really relationships, student achievement, and teacher joy. That would be my three big priorities. And I think that I'd start with relationships, and I would start with the four that I believe are the cornerstones for every teacher. Because I think within the building, you know, the building kind of is set up. You have your students and you have your teachers and you have your administration and you have all of your staff. And I think if you start with relationships with all of these things, it can be amazing. But I think the four cornerstones or the relationships, I think, would be relationships that we have with our students, our content, our colleagues, and ourselves. And I think if we nourish those four aspects of what every teacher and every leader, like, we all have those four cornerstones. If we nourish those and took the time to nourish them and had the tools to do so, and we had the resources to do so, I think that student achievement would rise. I think that teacher joy would be off the charts because we'd be excited to teach. And I really think that by focusing on those four cornerstones of relationships, everything would fall into place, you know, because it would just be a school I know that I'd want to go to if I knew I had the resources to really build the relationships that I need, but also, you know, share that knowledge and wisdom with my students to help them further themselves. And if I knew my administrators didn't have to worry about, you know, limited resources, that if they were able to give me as a teacher exactly what I needed, I know they would. I don't think there's any administrators out there that are like, I have what you need, but I'm not giving it to you. But that would be it. Definitely top three priorities: relationships, student achievement, and teacher joy.
Teacher joy.
And create a space that people love coming to. Mm-hmm. That, I guess, would be my ideal school.
Sounds like a great place to work.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any last words of advice and the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. I would say a simple word of advice for me, whether you're a teacher or a leader, administrator, wherever you might be in your walk, I would say to never forget how important you are in the lives of others, because I think each one of us will always be someone's unforgettable. So even if it's that one person that we're going to impact, or the multiple people, I think that if we never forget how important we are in their lives, it'll keep us going every day. And I think you could get a hold of me easiest by Twitter, on Twitter, under at cpoole. It's just D-P-O-O-L-E 27. You can reach out to me there, message me, tweet out, say hello. But you can also reach out by visiting teachonomy.com or unseries.com anytime. You can see what's going on. Contact information's all there. That'd probably be another easy way to reach out anytime.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining me on the show, Chuck.
Thank you. It was awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates, and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.